Okay, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. This is my second take at this. Some of you might have seen that a video went up yesterday that somehow lost its audio. I don't know what happened there. I hope that it doesn't happen again today. But it makes it super awkward because I feel like I'm talking for the second time about the same thing. And so I feel like I'm being repetitious even though nobody got anything. I hope Lent is going amazing. I hope that these videos aren't annoying you, but I thought maybe during fasting seasons it would be cool to have more regular check-ins. Eventually these meetings will be live, and hopefully more interactive so that we can talk to each other face-to-face, but we'll make do with what we have in this first period, and if you benefit from this, great. If you don't, no problem. As we figure out the website, there might be a way to subscribe so that if you don't want to get it, you don't have to. So bear with me for those of you who might not be into this. Since this is a period of fasting and prayer, some people were talking to me individually about prayer during Lent, struggles with it. And I also kind of wanted to get into whether or not you guys have prayer rooms or not. Because that's a big part of what might help you pray better. Sorry, I'm super awkward because I don't really remember what we did and what we didn't do. So basically, I want to just give some random tips that might be helpful to you during this season. If you've been somebody who's not been praying a lot overall, that's okay. Like, this is a good time to start. That's part of the point of this season. Like we said, it's boot camp, getting something in the habit, getting something more into it. I'm just realizing that this video is covering some of the points, but that's okay. So, way back in the day, not that I'm that old, but in my very late teens, I remember talking to one of the hermits in St. Anthony's, the best monastery and the best saint in Egypt, and I was surprised that one of the first pieces of advice that he gave me was my prayer corner. He was emphasizing that a physical space is so important for how we pray, recognizing that we are all physical people. I think that's important because I think we sometimes underplay that. So he said to me, you know, he goes, carve out, now I have a whole prayer room and I've had for years, even not as a monk, that's not for that, but whatever you can spare. Is that he was like, okay, this is a consecrated space. He goes, so choose an area in your room that is not where you have high traffic. Because if it's high traffic, it'll be easier to ignore its existence. So he's like, not a place where you're going to be like walking through all the time to go to the bathroom or to get your clothes or something like that. Because once it's easy for you to go back and forth, then it's easy for you to just not do stuff. He goes, so set it aside. It's consecrated. It's holy. It's set apart. Okay. What I would suggest is, and I maybe want to suggest this being a challenge for you guys during Lent, but is make it cozy. Make it somewhere that you'd like to be. I pulled a random picture from Google Photos here. That YouTube has decided is not a copyright violation, so I hope I'm okay. But make it somewhere you want to be, right? Have icons up of the Lord, of Our Lady, of your intercessor or intercessors, right? Maybe have a floating shelf or something that you can put, or a table, it doesn't have to be a floating shelf, that has tea candles or a vigil lamp and indeed. You can make homemade ones. Physical objects that take you places, right? I have sand and rocks in one of my cells, my home cell in California, in my monastery, with that, when I see it, it takes me there. Physical objects and people that I love. So that when I see it, it makes me think of those people and be like, oh Lord, remember this person. And it serves well. Make it intimate. Maybe have a beanie bag, maybe have a nice chair, maybe have a kneeler. Make it somewhere that you love to go, right? I like dark, so I like dark spaces. I like candles. It helps me get in the zone. But the idea is that it's helping you connect with the physical space so that you like being there. It's easier to do something in that place when you actually enjoy being there. And if you get it, that's why you make it intimate, make it somewhere you want to be, then it's easier to consecrate with your prayer. In my parents' house in Canada, in my room from my, like, when we moved to that house, it was where I grew up as a teen. The physical space that I set aside for where I would do my rule became very holy. And the monks had also, a different monk, is when we always have a pocket cross. This is for male, female, priest, non-priest, has nothing to do with that. And so I've ever since always had that. So have a cross, and definitely you're going to use in your prayer corner. But he had told me, whenever you do the prayer of Thanksgiving, when you say, take them away from us and from all your people and from this holy place that is yours, he said to actually sign the space that you live in, and it becomes different. And I experienced that later. I didn't feel it in the I was excited to do it in the moment because I felt like I was doing something churchy. There's something to that. But I definitely, it built up over time. So consecrate it by making it yours, making it set aside, that it's intimate, somewhere you want to be. If you don't have one, get one. That's homework for Lent, obviously, with your spiritual guidance's direction. As for what to do in there, I don't know how to change. Oh, there you go. Sorry, didn't know you could do that. These are just random tips, right? Obviously, follow whatever instructions that you have from your spiritual father. But these are just random tips, especially if you maybe don't have one or that you haven't been regular with or had the conversation with yet. I want to start by just simple things, okay? Like, we're not asking you to suddenly be a Evagrius of Pontus. If you don't know who that is, that's okay. It doesn't mean that you suck. But is to say, like, start off in the morning with a good morning to God, right? That could be signing yourself and praying our Father, right? It might include going up and kissing, venerating the icon of our Lord. And also the saints, right, where you're waking up and you're saying good morning to the whole family, right? It's saying that, you know what, I want you to be the first thought in my day, I want you to be the first fruits of my morning, of my time, is that I'm saying hi to you, right? So it doesn't have to be extravagant. Start off with that. If I'm not a morning person when it comes to concentration personally. So I did have periods where I was able to do that, where reading the Bible in the morning could have been helpful. I just don't know for all of you what you can do or not. It doesn't change what you can use the Bible for, but I'm saying what you take from the Bible might feed how you pray throughout the day, right? So you can take the passage that you're reading and turn that into your point of meditation that you'll be talking to God about, right? Let's say you read about how he dealt with the woman caught in sin, since we're in Lent. I was having a conversation, I'm laughing because I had a conversation recently with the Buna Samuel, and we were talking about how we always label people the negative. We call her the sinner woman, or the adulterous woman in this case. We don't call them the repentant woman, we call them by their negative names. But the woman caught in adultery, right? Of being like, okay, Lord, like, she was caught in the sin. But what he hears now, you're focusing it at God, right? I'm caught in sin all the time by you, but I don't even think about it, right? But how comforting that you told her you're not her accuser, right? Lord, you don't accuse me either, but what do I do? How does a sin no more thing work for me? I'm just throwing out random examples. And it could be Old Testament, it could be New, but I'm just saying is, if you throughout the day think about how can I live this, what can I take from this, then the Bible will become a way that you're praying throughout the day. During Lent, as we talked about the Lent program challenge, if you're doing spiritual reading, use some of that as well. So even if you read the Bible the night before in the middle of the day, that doesn't negate that for the next 24 hours you could use that, okay? Spontaneous prayers. Again, these are just basic tips. All of these could be easily lectures on their own. Could be a whole series, but like I'm just trying to scratch at the surface here for ways to get started. For a lot of people here, they're talking about Jesus prayer. That's one way of doing spontaneous prayer. It's valid, but it's also not the only way. So by that, what I mean is, don't make it only just about that, because you might not connect well with that, and that's okay. Jesus prayer needs training. But it could also be turning your normal thoughts into prayerful thoughts. So let's say you're really stressed out. Instead of just saying, oh man, I'm so stressed out, why not being like, man, I'm so stressed out, comma, God. And having him part of your dialogue, right? Being like, Lord, how do I deal with this? What do I do? So just like, oh no, what do I do? turning that into prayer, right? If you see a beautiful scene, being like, Lord, wow, that's beautiful, thank you, because he made it. It's I call it texting God, right? Do that throughout the day. Start working on that maybe during Lent if you haven't already, which is different from the scheduled time of prayer. But if you, during Lent in general, can schedule a time better, I think would do wonders. There's a period where I lived up north, a couple of periods where I did, but the first period I did was an internship, and I decided to be super, super disciplined, especially because Lent was part of it. And I'm not always super disciplined, that's why I'm saying it with such pride. But I was so regimental, and the effect of it was on another level that I miss. In 4 months, because that was the period of that internship, I read the whole entire Bible. I promise you I'm not showing off. I suck at all of these things. But I'm just saying what can happen when you schedule your time. I read multiple books. I cross-country skied multiple times a week. I hiked multiple times a week. I was able to make phone calls and catch up with people that I care about. I live far away from them, so I couldn't see them. I was able to get all my work assignments done. I was able to sleep early, which is not normal for me. I didn't know that all that was possible, okay? So try looking at schedule times to do things. If you can't schedule your whole day, that's fine, okay? But maybe at least tie your prayer to something consistent, right? For the intentional time with Christ. We're not talking about just the texting and the random prayers. So for example, let's say you know that you always eat at a particular time. It doesn't matter what time it is, but there's always a ritual around your eating. Tie it to that. Right? If there's a ritual, I remember when I was in high school that my ritual was I kind of came home from school, had a snack, and then I just chilled. The minute I heard the garage door opening that my mom was coming, if mom's watching, this one's not embarrassing, so it's not a problem. That was my signal of homework time. I'm going to start doing that. The next signal was going to be dad's coming home, that's dinner, right? And then the time after that to me was personal time because I always had everything done by then. So it might help you get back into the program if you can tie it to something more stable. You might even want to consider journaling. I did that when I was in Thunder, in up north. So I want to tie the journal to that actually, because I got into this ritual when I was up north of like, okay, I'm going to come home from work, I'm going to do Igbaya, because I've had various phases where I like and don't like the Igbaya. It was during a phase where I was kind of in between. It started off with the I don't like phase, but I was like, but I'm going to do it, right? And so when I was doing it, I was like, okay, I'm going to put stuff in the oven, like that takes some time. So by the time I'm finished the prayers of the hours, the food's not done yet, but it's close enough and I don't need to worry about like fire, right? What ended up happening is that because of all the regimental, because of what I got into, I actually ended up getting into a zone where everything was flowing because everything was organized. My reading was organized, my prayer was organizing, my hiking was organized. So it changed my whole ethos. It entered into me, and then suddenly I didn't want to leave the room until I was naturally done having this conversation with God. So the journaling helped me put into writing what I was getting out of the reading, what I was getting out of the Psalms, what I was getting out of my day. It fed what I thought about during the day, because the act of writing, you know, it does something. It pulls something inside of you. I know I've used that a couple of times, but it really does. And it's funny because I sometimes go back and read those journals and I'm like, man, that was a good time. I miss it. I wish I was there. Not just physically, but spiritually, in that same space that I was in at the time. But I'm like, oh wow, I didn't realize that this thought took root in me. I still talk about that. And it's developed, right? So consider something like that. Unwind, using the Psalms is a big deal. Again, these could all be lectures. I'm not going to get into the nitty-gritty. But something you might want to consider during Lent is translating the Psalms into street English. Next year, when I'll have already been here for longer, I might turn that into like an exercise or an activity with all of you. Of like maybe divvying it up and people taking their stabs at it so that we can have a whole compilation of the Psalms in modern language that we can use to get into it. Because when you realize what David or the psalmists in the cases where it's not King David are saying, you'll connect more. And we can talk about that later. But maybe you could consider doing that with your groups, your local communities, of saying, hey guys, there's 12 Psalms in Compline. How about each one of us takes one? But work on it. If you're praying fast, this is a time to practice. Slow down. Why am I rushing? How am I going to know what this means if I'm going lightning speed? Anyways, those are random, but maybe these might be some ways for you to just to get started in the prayer. If anything else, get in the routine. Even if you don't have epic prayer, crazy, amazing, personal prayer where your heart is open to the sky, like that's not, the goal isn't to induce a particular emotion. We're learning how to spend time dialoguing with God. The listening and the talking, both of them. So I hope those might help with the getting started. Sorry, I'm all over the place because I'm half trying to remember what I said yesterday when I did it and half in a completely other place. But maybe these would be pointers or starters to go from. I hope you guys have a really, really blessed Lent. I'll probably be doing more of these. Maybe I'll do situations of the week or meditations on sayings of the fathers. But I'm going to check in with you guys every week with some kind of theme during this. Looking forward to seeing you all. See you in Minnesota, God willing, next week. Is that next week? Yeah, next week. Keep me in your prayers, and I'll be looking out for people who can help me with the tech as soon as I can. I am still learning how to do certain things, so it's not a forgetfulness. I'm just not as tech savvy as I would have liked on some things. Anyways, keep me in your prayers. Have an awesome week, and Godspeed. Bye, guys.